I'd like, by the help of the Lord tonight, just to continue in the same line of things. It's no doubt the Holy Spirit has been pleased to set before our hearts during those Bible readings. The little word the Lord has laid upon one's heart tonight in reading from the Epistle to the Romans is this. I would like to draw your attention to five references in Romans to the resurrection of Christ. I believe the resurrection is a fundamental truth of the gospel. It has been attacked left, right, and center. But tonight, by the help of God, we'll see what the scripture says about it. Chapter 1, verse 1. End of the verse. Gospel of God, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, verse 4. This is the verse. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Chapter 4, same epistle. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. Chapter 6, same epistle. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Lastly, in chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I suppose the Apostle Paul was in the good and the gain of this when he wrote that lovely verse in Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being more conformable unto his death. That I might know him. He knew him, but he wanted to know him better. And I'm sure every one of us here, from the youngest to the oldest of us, we desire from our heart of hearts to know him better, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection
Oh, would to God we would catch the spirit of his power in our souls. The power of his resurrection. We have read it in chapter 1. The Son of God with power. Power of his resurrection from amongst the dead. We are reading locally just now in the Gospel by Mark. And we have been impressed in our local Bible reading how the Lord, time and time again in the Gospels, he not only referred to his death, how he must die, but how he would be buried and that he would rise again from amongst the dead. This is a wonderful truth, isn't it? Rise again from amongst the dead. In each of the Gospels, he tells them so. They can never enter into it. When we come to the epistles. In fact, before we come to the epistles, when we come to the book of the Acts, we see Peter preaching that wonderful sermon. What was he preaching? We've been exhorted as to what we should preach. Oh, that we might have grace to preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, and glorified, and coming again. Wonderful gospel, isn't it? But Peter stood up that day, and what did he preach? He preached Jesus and the resurrection. What was the result? 5,000 souls brought in who believed. I know there was mockers and scoffers, there will be. You remember in the Gospel when the Lord Jesus referred to the resurrection, the Sadducees were there. No wonder they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Or did he say to them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God? Wonderful truth. The resurrection, we might well carry this spirit of it, spirit of triumph and of victory. He rose from amongst the dead. When we come to the epistles, Paul writing that wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. Triumph, the victory over death, hell and the grave. He was seen of Cephas. 500 at a time, the brethren. Last of all, Paul could say, last of all, he was seen of me. And oh, that the spirit of this might fill our hearts with joy and with triumph and with victory. Christ Jesus not only died, but was buried. He rose again from amongst the dead by the glory of the Father. When you come to that second scripture I read, I just want to be brief. Perhaps it could be another two speakers tonight. There's plenty of time for this. Second scripture. You know, the reading of this affected my heart. I'm just going to read it to you again. Who was delivered? Think of it. Who was delivered for our offences? We were speaking in the Bible reading this afternoon how things affect us. Brethren, does this not affect us? He was delivered for our offences. For offences. Think of it. Humbles us, doesn't it? But he was raised again. Thank God for this. He was raised again for our justification. Our brother George was speaking about preachers and what they preach. Well, we were encouraged in Cookenzie on Lord's Day. In the afternoon, with a young brother, gave an address on justification. And you can thank God that God is still raising up young men who have a desire to minister the word. Truth of justification. We also had a word in the gospel, a word of victory and triumph by another young man, Smith Flett, a local lad here. Thank God for that word. Preaching Christ crucified, buried, risen and glorified. A word that was given in power and liberty. Well, might we present Christ, because there is power attached to the preaching of Christ and his resurrection and his ascension and his exaltation and his coming again. Justification, we had a little touch of it today. It was provided in grace by God himself, justified by grace. It was procured by the precious blood of Christ, justified by blood. It was proved in the resurrection. He was raised again. Yes, delivered for our offences. Raised again for our justification. But thank God. Thank God for this. It's a possession now, a present possession for you and I by faith. Justified by faith. Oh, that we might accept it. A spiritual blessing given to us from God. Justified by grace, unmerited favour of God showered upon us, just if we had never sinned. I was impressed by that quotation from Habakkuk today. The just shall live by faith. I notice it says the just shall live by his faith. His faith. His faith. Oh, that we might be in the good of this. Feelingly, we might enter into it, especially in the supper. I was delivered for our offences. Our offences. Oh, that our affections might be moved. Worship and praise might flow up to him, the living and the true God. For the Father seeketh worshippers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Raised again for our justification. Now the third scripture, chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now I'm not going to touch that line of things. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead, notice, from the dead by the glory of the Father. Think of it. The Father was the first to visit the scene of death. And he was raised again from amongst the dead by the glory of the Father. What a thought this is. The Father's love, the source of all, sweeter than all it brings, shines on us now without recall and malice while Jesus lives. In his pathway, Father's voice was heard. Remember at his baptism, Father's voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John 12, the Father's voice again. But in his death, in his resurrection here, the Father was the first to visit that scene of death, and he was raised again by the glory of the Father. In all things, he must have the preeminence, glory of the Father. And he goes on to say, even so also, we should walk in newness of life. We have the power to do this, you know. Walking in newness of life. Now when we come to the next scripture, chapter 7, verse 4, therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. We are married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Fruit unto God. I was thinking about that scripture today in connection with his death, with some of his death. Glory, glory everlasting be to him who bore the cross. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, much fruit. All the fruit in this room for God tonight through the death of Christ. Fruit for God. But here it brings in us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure we're all concerned about bearing fruit for God. Surely from the youngest to the oldest of us, we would desire tonight that we might be serviceable, pleasurable, honourable for God's use, and that we might bear fruit for God. We've been praying in our local prayer meeting that this holy convocation at Findochty, that they might bear fruit for God. We've spoken and touched a little on baptism. Every one of us has been baptized here. Have we all had a desire to be baptized? Have we all been affected as we thought of him being delivered up for our offences, remembering him in his death? Well, we're praying that the result of our coming together during this week, it might bear fruit for God. Something for God, something for his glory, because the Father is looking on, and the Father seeketh worshippers to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, that the result might be in each of all of our lives, bearing fruit for God. Being fruitful, as the Apostle says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now lastly, that lovely scripture in Romans 8, verse 11. I just want to read it again, it's worth reading. What of the spirit of him that raised up Jesus? Notice, Jesus, the lowly subject one. The one we heard this afternoon that was spoken of in John's Gospel 242 times. Jesus, the lowly subject one. Jesus from the dead dwelling you. He that raised up Christ, the anointed one. Jesus on the one hand, Christ on the other, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I was thinking of the importance of this verse in relation to our bodies. Have you ever thought of it? By his spirit that dwelleth in you, quicken your mortal bodies. Collectively, as the Church of God, the assembly, so to speak, we're the habitation of God by the Spirit. Place where God is at liberty to be loved, known, worshipped, and praised. Habitation of God, dwelling place for God. We are told in another epistle that the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I was just thinking in relation to our bodies, what the Epistle to Romans speaks about our bodies. Chapter 12, we're exhorted to present our bodies. Living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service. I'm sure if we did this, we would be bearing fruit for God. Speaks about the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, bodies. Then there was a reference made to the adoption, the redemption to the adoption of our bodies. I think this is a wonderful thought, and with this note, I finish. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain, those bodies of humiliation, are going to be changed.
all importance for bodies. God has a claim upon our bodies. He's going to change those bodies of humiliation. Think of it. He's going to be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. Or as the Epistle to the Romans says again, I repeat it, in relation to the thought of our bodies, conformed to the image of God's dear Son. What a wonderful chapter. Chapter 8 is, isn't it? With this few remarks I finish now. Verse 9, the Spirit of God, we have the new nature. Verse 9 again, the Spirit of Christ, the new character. Verse 10, the Spirit of life, the new life. Verse 11, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, the new power witnessed in his resurrection. Verse 14, we're led by the Spirit, new direction. Verse 15, the Spirit of adoption, new position. Verse 16, the Spirit himself, new relationship.